Okay, good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks for Wall Street Reporter. Today, I am speaking with Carlos Moreira. He's the founder, chairman, and CEO of WiseKey International Holding. The stock symbol is WIHN on the Swiss Stock Exchange. Carlos, welcome.
Hey, nice to meet you. Pleasure to talk to you.
Yes. So let's get right into it. Why don't you tell us a little bit about WiseKey's, the business model and some of your key products?
So WiseKey is a cybersecurity company, very specialized in high-end cybersecurity. So we provide software that basically protects financial institutions, governments, telcos, consumers, on everything related to identity management, the identity that you need to have in order to access securely to any type of application. We also provide encryption, cybersecurity encryption for securing critical digital assets like cloud data, or doing transactions over the internet where you will need a high-level encryption. And WiseKey is also a very major player on IoT, Internet of Things, as we also have around semiconductors, microchips. Those are microchips that you put basically inside objects like connected cars, like drones, like alarm systems. And this microprocessor, which is inserted into that object, when it's connected to the internet, is secure. So you cannot hack an object which is secure by WiseKey. So WiseKey has about 4,000 institutional clients, mainly in Europe, slowly into the U.S. as we are entering into the U.S. market in the last year. But our revenue is mainly, for the time being, European revenue. Companies like 300 banks using our technology in Germany, Switzerland, and the European Union. We have luxury companies using our technology to secure their objects, like watches, like luxury products. We have also a hardware company like mobile phones, then they are with our microchips securing their hardware. So this is kind of the ecosystem of WiseKey currently.
So, and how does that work? You, in terms of with the phones, you and the Internet of Things.
Well, I'll give you an example. Yeah, I'll give an example. We are now powering connected cars. So a connected car that is connected to the internet through the operating system can be hacked very easily, right? Because a hacker will just go to the OS. This is basically the same type of operating system you have in a mobile phone, but this operating system is controlling your car, right? So if a hacker gets into the operating system, the hacker can accelerate the car, can brake the car, can modify the direction through manipulating the steering wheel, and the user loses control of the car. And imagine the consequences for that. So WiseKey secures the car by securing the operating system. Everything in the operating system is encrypted, and all the instructions the operating system executes against the car, critical pieces of the car, like acceleration or brakes, are controlled by encrypted files that is sent from the operating system to microchips, and they're installed physically in those devices.
That's very interesting.
Sorry?
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's very interesting. Do you sell this chip to the car manufacturer, or how does that work?
Correct. So car manufacturers or OEM will acquire the chip from us on the cybersecurity, and they will install physically on the object. So WiseKey has already sold something like 1.2 billion chips. So this is a very high growth segment. We are putting the chips also in hardware like routers, servers, because in a lot of hardware can be counterfeited. So imagine you buying a router from somebody that is a counterfeited router, right? So we are putting technology like microchips that you can verify real time that this piece of hardware is a genuine hardware and not a counterfeited hardware. We provide that same technology for watches. In Switzerland, WiseKey has already secured nearly 1 million watches, and they are now with those chips able to real-time indicate it that this is a genuine watch and it's not a counterfeited watch. And then we have the software part, which is there you don't need the chip, but those are more for traditional services like company like DigiCert in the United States. I'm sure you know them. Very large. They acquire VeriSign for $1 billion. So we do the same type of technology than DigiCert, which is SSL security, like HTTPS, the S that allows your mm-hmm. website to be secure. This is technology that we provide, and we have millions of websites secured by WISeKey. And also digital identity for KYC compliance or eIDAS compliance. So let's say that you want to access a bank, and the bank needs to be 100% sure that you are the person you say you are, and that you are not usurpating the identity of somebody else. So we provide the digital identity technology that allows a user to execute a binding transaction over the internet, whether it's a payment with a credit card or a mobile phone or accessing your bank account or pay your taxes online. In Switzerland, we can even do e-voting with WISeKey technology. So technology that allows software that allows you to authenticate yourself towards a trusted site.
Okay. Now, Carlos, who are some of your key competitors, in these segments, and what differentiates WISeKey from your competition?
So we have competitors in areas, but not as a whole. We have competitors that are competing with us in microchips. I mean, you have very big players in microchip companies like NXP or ARM. They could be, in some cases, competitors to WISeKey, although the microchips that WISeKey provides are embedded with our security, which is not the case for these companies on the identity security layer. But can be considered competitors. In the software side, there are companies like RSA in the United States or VeriSign or DigiCert. They will be the type of competitors. WISeKey uniqueness is that we are combining the software and the hardware native. That means that from the moment you install something from WISeKey, you don't have to install anything else. I mean, that piece of a microchip semiconductor is also including the required software and cybersecurity protection. So, which is what clients want in our days. They don't want to go through different vendors because it becomes very complicated to embed the security into chips putting chips for somebody that has already acquired the cybersecurity. So an integrated solution end-to-end is required. And then WISeKey is actually now our third line of business, which just emerged a year ago, is the blockchain integration into the identities. When you issue identities, you need to store them somewhere so people can check those identities. And WISeKey has been partnering with very big players on blockchain identity ledgers, you call that, mm-hmm. which allow basically the identity to be decentralized in ledgers, so anyone can check that identity real time.
So your product for blockchain is what exactly for the blockchain market?
So we have developed an identity blockchain developed by the company, which is a blockchain that basically allows your identity to be stored into a secure ledger. So your identity from day one and the history of that identity, how many times you made a transaction, when you made a transaction, all the history of that identity is recorded in the ledger. And the ledger, as you know, is immutable, cannot be manipulated, neither replaced. So you give evidence on the usage, transactional use of that identity to anybody that you will give the permission to have, right? And this is user-based permission. So it's a powerful model for decentralizing the storage of the identities into ledgers and not into databases, which is the other option, obviously. But databases, when you are talking about billions of objects connected to the internet, becomes very heavy very soon, right? Because imagine you controlling all the spare part of 1 million cards. Databases will become too heavy. And the new model to do that is through blockchain technology. And WISeKey has developed the first ever identity blockchain to use the identity blocks in a chain, so each identity is recorded in a ledger.
And who is the customer for this? Is this the consumer?
No, the customer of that will be the same customers we have for the microchips and identity, but they for instance, let's say that you are a very large car manufacturer and you want to put identities in all your cars and the spare parts of your car, and then you want everybody that has any relation with your car, the maintenance people, the gas stations, anyone that has to do something with your car, to be able to access that identity to ensure that the connection with your car is going to be secure. So that's the what you call IoT market, Internet of Things, right? So it's anybody that is connecting anything to the internet, knowing that 50 billion objects are going to be connected to the internet in the next 10 years, right? So the market is phenomenal.
And how does your revenue model work? Is that licensed? Is that you generate revenues per license each individual?
So we have two type of revenue models. One on the hardware, and this basically you buy the chips, so you can buy the microchips or the microprocessors or WISeKey, and that allows you to use the chip to the life of the chip, which is normally between 3 to 5 years until we replace the chip with a better chip, higher memory, higher security. And then you have a licensing agreement on the cybersecurity software license, which is the one that you will be upgrading every year. You know, it's like imagine like an antivirus type of thing, right? Then you have to upgrade all the time the cybersecurity, and those are licenses of 1 year. So you have a fixed revenue and a recurring revenue model associated, which is very interesting because more chips you sell, more cybersecurity you need, and more times, more recurring revenue that cybersecurity generates because you have to renew that every year.
And how much do these chips sell for?
So entry price is very low. Entry price is 20 cent of dollar, and that goes all the way to several dollars per chip, depending what the chip does, right? If the chip is in a car, obviously it will be around $5 to $10. If the chip is in a garment, you know, we are actually putting chips in garments to let we had a deal with Mastercard that allows you to put a chip in a T-shirt and load money in the T-shirt and go to the stadium and pay your ticket with your T-shirt. This kind of thing you can do with chips. Those are 20 cents of dollar chips. So we have different prices depending the utility then is going to be associated to the chip.
And I think you mentioned earlier that you've sold 1 billion of these chips. Was that?
Yes, 1.2 billion chips so far in the last years. Yeah, or revenues are. I mean, we are a listed company, so you have the revenues
Sure.
available in.
Yep.
But our revenues are growing 30% per year. We are now. We just announced the H1, the first 9 months, which is $37 million revenue. On our outlook for the year is 55, which is a lot of revenue for IoT. I mean, this is premium revenue, right? Because it's not a lot of. I mean, you have to sell a lot of millions of chips at 0.20 cents to get to that revenue, and that creates the ecosystem. Because once you start to use the chip, then the next thing you do is to expand into their entire organization. Normally, the way that works is that a car manufacturer will start with few cars just to test the new cars and see how that works. And after they take the decision to bring the entire production into the IoT. As I say, the IoT market is growing like one of the last fastest growing market in the sector. We are growing at 30% per year now. And this market is growing at 20 now. So we are growing faster than the market. And next year, IoT, especially because the new regulatory requirements are going to be put on people connecting things to the internet to make sure that whatever you connect to the internet is secure, that you are not connecting to the internet unsecure object, because that you can compromise the entire thing. Let's say cameras on your house or smoke detectors, all those products needs to be now secure. Otherwise, they can compromise the rest of the products. Hackers can get through a non-secure object into the rest of your house. So new legislation are going in all directions because they are forcing manufacturers to put security on objects, and we are providing the technology, so it's a great fit.
Okay. Now, Carlos, if you can just give us a quick overview of the company's history, when you started, what the numbers were then, and how the growth has been up to now. I think you did mention the current numbers, but let's kind of give a little background of
Yeah, so the company, I mean, we had an R&D phase in the company, developing the crypto and during that time, the company was a private company. That company raised, during that time, $160 million during the private phase. And then we did the Swiss IPO in the Swiss stock market. That was 2016. And we made strategic acquisitions, and we moved from a very small company, a startup, to be wherever we are now. We are 250 people, $55 million revenue, market cap, which is, it was $350 million this year, at the beginning of this year. Now we are lower. And the only reason is because we acquired some company with shares, and obviously the lockup of the shares happened in May this year, so there has been a kind of overhang on the shares. But we are trading at 2x revenue, which is the market. That's what the analyst report are saying in the U.S. is that the company should be trading between 3 and 6x revenue, not at 2x revenue. They're putting the stock about 70% higher than what we are trading today. I'll send you later the report so you
Sure.
can analyze that.
Now, what role does, M&A play in your growth strategy?
Originally, the M&A, the microchip, it was about 20%, 30% of our growth strategy because we didn't have hardware. The rest of the growth has been organically by just introducing the software component on the hardware component.
Okay. Do you see any other possibilities for M&A opportunities in the future?
Oh, for sure. I mean, one of the reason we are now on the OTC and getting visibility in the U.S. market that WISeKey will both continue growing organically because this is a very exciting market to be now, right? IoT cybersecurity, but also by consolidating other players that do not have our size, but they have some niche type of captive market audience in the U.S. mainly, and also in other territories. But for us, the U.S., I'm sure there will be some acquisitions in the U.S. in the near term.
Okay, and so any are there any possible deals on the horizon?
Yeah, I mean, I am listed company, so I cannot give
Ah,
you.
right.
Yeah, we have to be careful what I tell you, right? But yeah, as I say, I mean, WISeKey just made a, and this has been announced, so I can tell you, we just acquired 22% of a Boston company with the name Tarmine, which is a very, very interesting data aggregator company. They aggregate data from unstructured data that you have in social media, in Twitter, everywhere. You have your data scattered everywhere. And this company, what it does is collects all the data and puts in a secure vault, like a cloud, like a Dropbox type of cloud. But this is collecting the data from the internet. And we have integrated that now into WISeKey. So if you want to have the entire social media data, Google data, pictures, everything that you have on the internet, we organize that in a cloud and with our security. And we give you a key, which is the key that you will give to your wife or to your doctor or to whoever you trust to access that data, right?
Okay.
So that is a 22% investment in a Boston-based company just made a few weeks ago.
Okay. Now, the company has, the top line has grown very impressively, but the company is, still not profitable. What is the path to profitability, or when do you expect to see that happen?
So we are actually, because we are reporting in US GAAP, the losses we have, there are mainly losses associated to the IPO, like option plan. Those are non-US GAAP figures, which are not cash losses. Those are not operational losses. Those are stock options and shares and things like that, you know, then they are counted as a losses in US GAAP, but they are not losses, right? Our operational losses are very small. They are about $3 million only, and we are highly profitable at the product level. The only reason why we are still losing money at the operation is because we are opening offices in Europe and we have the G&A associated costs, right? But the company is highly profitable at the product level. But we are growing. I mean, companies like us, having profit, it's obviously important, but it's not the top priority. The top priority is growth and keep growing 30% to 40% per year. You know, I mean, you have companies like DocuSign doing an IPO, $4 billion IPO in the US with $150 million losses, right? So losses is not really the key priority now.
What is your vision for the company over the next 2-3 years?
So, you know, because we expect the IoT cybersecurity market growing 30% to 40% every year, and WESCO has a very strong hold on that market. We have 1,700 patents, amazing technology, amazing clients moving to the US. So it will be very easy to keep growing as we are growing 30%, you know. So, you know, 55, you add another 50 million, we're going to be 70 or 80 million next year. And they will be growing between 30% and 40%, and maybe even higher because, as I say, we are only connecting now something like 2 billion objects to the internet, and there's 50 billion objects to be connected in the next 5 years. So potential growth is phenomenal. And because cybersecurity is not going to go away, you know, this is going to get worse and worse until it gets better. The demand of companies like WISeKey are growing very fast. Look, companies like Palantir trading a $40 billion private company, or a company like Forescout trading a 9x revenue. So the possibility of us to bring our valuation to where it should be, you know, which is where the American companies' valuation are is very real. And that's going to be our big path next year.
Okay. Now, Carlos, can you tell us about your background and also some of the key members of the WISeKey team?
So what I'll do, I send you the analysis because I send you also the audited report. So they will give you all our biographies, the key people. But I am very senior cybersecurity expert. I was the expert on cybersecurity. I was running the cybersecurity for the United Nations here in Switzerland for 15 years. And then I basically created WISeKey on that past experience, right? And we have or traditional people that we have, they are top executive from many other very big company, HP or Microsoft or Cisco, that they are working out with WISeKey. And then we have a very strong semiconductor group. Then they have been working for Gemalto or for Inside Secure in France, so where we have 70 specialists on micro semiconductors. And then we have about 60 people distributed all over Europe. And in the United States, we are actually recruiting now. We just recruited 4 people, and we're going to be about 20 by the end of the year.
Okay. And you know, in your opinion, is the story fully understood by the investment community? And if not, you know, what is it that people might be missing?
I mean, I think there are three things, obviously. One is that this is a very new industry, so you don't have a lot of analysts covering this IoT cybersecurity. And that's why we are happy, actually, that now we have at least 2 independent analysts, and they are covering this space and covering WISeKey. So this is a way of explaining WISeKey to the investor community, and that will be obviously we will continue on increasing that over the next 12 months, especially if we do an IPO in the U.S. And the other thing is that IoT, as I mentioned before. People didn't want to pay money for cybersecurity before. I mean, if you go to a camera, you know, video camera producer, and you say to them, hey, you have to pay 20 cents for securing your camera, a few years ago, they will tell you, no, no way, you know, I don't want to, password is enough. But now, because it's so easy to hack, and the liability is so high, the industry is not willing to pay for cybersecurity. So that's going to be the trigger from not understanding what we are doing to make it this totally perversive, you know, and make it very big. Because cybersecurity, it is like we are like we were with the cars in the 80s, you know, there was no airbag in cars, and people were buying cars without any security, no airbag, no seat belt. And then people start to die and having accidents, and then the car manufacturers were obliged to put security on the car. So the same thing happens on IoT. You know, we are in that phase now where companies connecting things to the internet, they cannot connect without security, and that's the growth for the company.
Okay. Now you mentioned a possible offering in the U.S. over the next 12 months. Can you tell us, you know, what the financial structure looks like today, and you know, what might be some of your capital needs going forward, you know, if any?
I mean, the company is very well financed, so we don't need any capital raise now for the time being for us. And that's why we did the OTC. It was more to get U.S. institutional investors to be able to invest in WISeKey, because, as you know, there's a lot of institutional investors in the United States that do not, due to their chart, they cannot invest in foreign companies or in foreign stock markets. So that's why doing an ADR on the NASDAQ will be a way for allowing us that type of flexibility, or letting institutional investors to invest directly on the SUSE stock. But we are listed already, so it will not be a new listing. It will be just an ADR process, as many Swiss companies have. Big companies like Nestle, like Swatch, they are doing ADRs in the U.S.
Sure. Now, what are some of the key milestones over the next 12 months that investors can look forward to?
So the milestone is keeping growing, as I have been announcing, that we will be growing between 15% to 30%, and that we will be increasing our revenue, reducing our costs, increasing our profitability, and entering into new markets. So I think the onboarding of WISeKey into the U.S. market is going to be a very big news, you know, because it always happened like that. I'm sure you have followed the tech industry in the past, and you remember companies European companies, and they were small in Europe and then enter into the U.S. and become massive, right? So this is, you know, you have companies like FarEye, Israeli company, around the same valuation before entering the U.S. Now they are $8 billion company markup, and they were actually much higher before. So this is a trend, you know, that once you have a very highly specialized European company. Europe is the market is very fragmented, so you don't have, like in the U.S., a 300 million people market and can immediately buy your product. Here you have to go country by country, so it's tedious. And American market gives us the growth, so we will be able to grow even faster. I mean, growing 30% in Europe is like growing 70% in the U.S. if you compare, right? So huge potential.
Great. Well, Carlos, thank you, and we look forward to following the story in the months ahead.
That's great. Look forward. And I'll send you a list, Angelique, to give you the...